Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible, it's relevant to your life every day. And we're glad you joined us for the conversation as we explore the Gospel of Luke and discover the facts behind our faith. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truth in the book of Luke in chapter 24 and right down toward the end of the chapter. Exciting stuff.
Yeah.
Talking about these disciples on the road to Emmaus. And you know, that's the way we call them. We talk about the disciples on the road to Emmaus, but we could equally say they're the disciples on the road to Jerusalem.
Right.
Because they made the trip both ways that day, didn't they?
Yeah.
And we always think about the trip walking away.
Right.
When we probably ought to be talking about the trip walking too.
Well, isn't that the truth? We come so many times in life that my glass is half empty instead of half full.
Yeah, that's good.
And they're looking at the negative part, and that's how we view life a lot of the times.
It really is. Look at it, if you would, because we just interrupted their conversation last episode where they had come back to the 11 and the others that were gathered. And they said, hey, here's what happened to us. We know it's the Lord. We saw him. And look at verse 36, because, excuse me, man, I just cannot shake this cough, my friends. But they said this in verse 36, and or this is what verse 36 says. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. So it's almost as if Jesus has given them an entire day to process the overwhelming evidence. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's an empty tomb. There are eyewitnesses. Mm-hmm. There's the word of God. There's the message that Jesus had preached in Galilee. There's the Emmaus disciples. And it's like nothing. There's appearing to Simon, and nothing is convincing these disciples, these followers, until finally Jesus just boom shows up.
Yeah, he continuously tells them over and over again his whole life or his whole ministry about how all this would happen. It happened exactly the way that he said it would happen. And yet through this entire day, it's as if he's trying to see how his disciples would react without seeing him in person.
So if all of those evidences had been provided and they still didn't believe, and then the final exclamation point of evidentiary truth is the fact that he now appears in front of them. You would
not
think
in disguise.
That, no, I mean, he's right there in the room. Didn't walk through the door, didn't climb through a window. Boom, he's right there. You would think that at that moment, that would be like the capstone of evidence. Okay, we get it. Wow, how exciting. But that still wasn't their response. Because look at verse 37. But they were terrified.
They freaked out.
Eric, that's why I have you on the podcast.
Right.
Because
right.
You bring out the nuances of all these Greek words.
Yes.
They freaked out.
Yes, the color.
Yeah. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit.
It's a ghost.
Which is very interesting because I think it was last episode, maybe the episode before, Eric, that you brought out that this is very reminiscent of when Jesus walked on the water.
Right. Same guys, you know, same group of guys.
Yep.
Different circumstances. But yeah, they same exact thing as before. It's a ghost. They freaked out right there in the middle of the sea.
Yeah. And the purpose for Jesus to walk on the water was to calm them down. So remember, he said, it is I, be not afraid.
Right.
That was his whole purpose. He wanted just to calm their fears, and yet it exacerbated their fears.
Right, right.
You know, now they're terrified, they're frightened, this is a ghost. Mm-hmm. I mean, it works the opposite way. Why? Because they're contextualizing all the evidence through the lens of their fear and doubt instead of through their faith in what Jesus has already told them, what the Bible has already taught them.
Mm-hmm. And this is the pattern right here. They're following the pattern again. Jesus is coming to bring peace to them. He's coming to let them know, hey, it all happened the way that I said it was going to happen. And now again, they're scared to death, and it gets exasperating.
Exasperating, yeah, for sure. Yeah. How weak must our faith be that when Jesus appears in demonstrable ways in our lives, it doesn't cause us to be peaceful, it causes us to be fearful. And that's what's happening here. They're afraid, they're terrified, they suppose it's a spirit. And the Bible says in verse 38, and he said unto them, why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. A spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. This is important because Gnostic heresy taught that Jesus was just a spirit. The Christ was just a spirit. Jesus was a man. Jesus was not God. Yeah. There was a duality here, and we're seeing all that's not true. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, the verse that really comes to my mind is in 1 John chapter 1, where John said that our hands have handled the word of life. John was careful in introducing the Lord Jesus to say, we've walked with him, we've talked with him, we've experienced him, we've touched him. This is real. This is tactile. Mm-hmm. This is not a fanciful imagination. This is not a spirit world. This is reality.
Right. He didn't just rise up, and all these times that I was telling you, hey, I'm going to rise from the grave. I am going to be risen. He wasn't talking in an aspect of spiritual realm where it was going to take even further faith. But man, now he's showing them and putting a stamp on, man, I am going to rise bodily. And that's exactly what he was in this context here. He was in his body.
So in verse 40, he says, and when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and feet. So he said, behold my hands and feet, and handle me, and so forth. And then verse 40, they actually did it. I think that's where he said, so behold, okay, so here I am. And I can imagine them tepidly walking forward and looking and whispering.
Well,
and
Peter touching. Jumped up. Peter jumped up.
I'm sure Peter jumped up and he was the first one. Like,
I'm first.
Yeah. That's right. But the whole point is they are in awe, in a state of shock, like actually looking and feeling and touching and listening. And the next verse is really amazing as well, because they go from one extreme to the other. Because look at, my friends, what it says in verse 41, where it says, and while they yet believed not for joy, they still couldn't believe it. Now they can't believe, this is too good to be true.
Yeah.
So on the one hand, they were too afraid to believe it.
Yeah.
Now, on the other hand, they're too happy to believe it. This has to be a dream. This cannot be real. That this goes beyond our wildest imaginations. So the Bible says that while they believe not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have you here any meat? Now it seems almost like an anticlimactic thing to ask, have you here any meat? Hey, guys, anything to eat around here?
Like in passing,
But remember two things, okay? Number one, they're thinking this is just a dream. They're thinking that they're not believing for joy. They're wondering. Maybe we're just... So he's bringing a very physical element in, eating, to show them that, listen, guys, this is real. What's happening on right now? We're on earth. We're eating food. So that he's bringing the reality into with this mundane daily activity. But then I think the other thing is, the last thing he did with them as a group was to eat with them. And the thing that opened the eyes of the Emmaus disciples was when he sat at meat with them. So it's almost as if, okay, let's recreate this meal. Let's break and eat and talk. And eating was a sign of acceptance and fellowship and all of that. So there's much to be said about just this simple question, have you here any meat?
Yeah, something that they did on a regular basis every day. And it takes my mind back to when they met Jesus on the shore and said, hey, you guys have any fish? You got any meat?
And that's exactly what I was thinking. Yeah. That's the way that he kind of... mind shocked them who had been fishing all night in John 21. Children, have you any meat?
Seems like through this whole story that Christ keeps taking them back to memories that they had with him from the past. It's just from my, you know, looking at it from a 30,000 foot view. It's like, man, he keeps taking them back to those points along the journey.
Look at verse 42. And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of an honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. Ghosts don't eat. You know, spirits don't eat.
Right.
Okay. He's showing them that I'm as real as I was last week. I'm as real as I was four nights ago when we ate together at that Last Supper.
Yeah.
I'm as real as the day-by-day mundane activity of life as we did ministry together for 3 years. It's real. He ate it in front of them. And the Bible says in verse 44, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. So what does he do in verse 44? He goes to the same pattern that he had used with the disciples on the road to Emmaus.
Yep. He goes back through the scriptures again. He opens their eyes. He starts cultivating their heart again, softening them up, letting the word of God burn in their hearts and change and cut and do the work that it needed to do.
And the Bible is very specific that he gives them a comprehensive view, because it says the law of Moses, so that would be Genesis through Deuteronomy, the prophets, and then the Psalms. They would call those the writings. So sometimes the Old Testament is divided into three sections, sometimes into two, depending on how you look at it. Mm-hmm. The Tanakh is the three sections of the Old Testament, the Torah, the Nephilim, and the whatever they call the writings, TNK. But he's saying, hey, my story is told throughout the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm. Every book in the Bible, you can point out where Jesus is at.
Every book of the Bible.
Yep.
Now on Sunday mornings, currently at Faith, I'm teaching through the book of Esther. Mm-hmm. The title of that series is Where's God? Because the name God is not mentioned,
right.
But God's all over the book.
Yep.
You know, and the story of redemption's all over the book.
Yeah, his evidence is there. His substance is there.
So the Bible says in verse 45, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. What an important verse that is. Because what that verse teaches us is that scriptural understanding is in part a measure of the illumination that God gives us. So the Bible's not like any other book to be apprehended and understood like a geometry book or like a history book. No, it's a spiritual book. And it's the Holy Ghost who's teaching. And we have to understand that understanding comes through the illumination of God.
Right.
So the Bible says, then opened he their understanding. He helped them to see it. He helped them to understand what those scriptures actually meant.
Yeah, it helps having the person that wrote the Word of God inside of you, instructing you through it as you read it.
He wasn't giving them new truth.
Right.
He was simply revealing the truth that they didn't know.
Uh-huh. Right.
And that's what God wants to do in our lives. Even in a small way, what we're doing on Everyday Truth is we're not giving you new truth. We're not saying, oh, wow, I never saw that before. Well, that's true. You may never have seen it before, but the point is, if it's truth, it was always there.
Right.
And it was ours to uncover it and to dust it off and to show the gems for what they are. Mm-hmm. And that's what Jesus is doing here in Luke chapter 24. Let me just finish with verse 46. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. I think we're going to probably come back there to verses 46 and following, because this in itself is the commission, that he begins the commission, as all the gospels end with, okay, what are you going to do about it?
Mm-hmm. The practical.
Right. That's right.
Right. Yeah. Now that you know the truth, and now that it's done something, it's burned in your hearts, now you've got to make it practical. You've got to do something with it. It's got to go to action.
I came with a mission, and my mission culminated in my death, my burial, and resurrection. Now I'm giving you a mission. And that mission culminates in the proclamation of the death, the burial, and the resurrection. So we call it the Great Commission, and we'll talk a little bit more about that next episode. But my friends, I appreciate you joining us, not only for today's episode, but all these episodes. And I believe that God uses his word to change our thinking, to change our focus, and I hope that that's what's happening in your lives. Have a great day in the Lord. God bless you, regardless of where you are, what you're doing. God bless your activity today as you strive to serve him. God bless.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.